Get your Bibles out, if you will, and I'd like for you to turn to Isaiah chapter number 28. Isaiah chapter 28. The sermon tonight is called, Be Ye Not Mockers. Be Ye Not Mockers. I am in a special way going to ask that the children and the teenagers listen very, very carefully to what I say. Oh, but I think everybody can listen in, and I think everybody will glean from what I'm about to teach us. Isaiah chapter 28, if you would stand with me. Once you find Isaiah 28, glance down to verse number 22. I'll read a couple of verses to you, then I'm going to give you some other scripture to go along with it. Isaiah 28, verse number 22, it says this, Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear, and hear my voice, hearken, and hear my speech. If you'll look back at me, if you've seen those words, be ye not mockers. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I think we use our tongues, and I think we use our words in a very hurtful way, and I don't think God intended for Christians to be like that. Tonight, we're going to talk about that. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get into a very simple sermon. Father, bless us. Holy Spirit of God, do a work. What I would like to do is I would really like to help the youth of our church in a special way. And I pray, God, that tonight we'll be careful with how we use our words. Help none of us to be guilty of mocking others. Lord, you said it. You told us, be ye not mockers. Might we obey that scripture just like we would one of the Ten Commandments, please, because it's what you said. Bless us now with thy Holy Spirit's presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think sometimes we hurt people. I'm not sure that we do it and that we know that we're doing it, but I think we do it. There's a story in the Bible found in 2 Kings. If you went to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 23, you would find that there were some young people that mocked the man by the name of Elisha. Elisha was a man of God, and they mocked him. Now, Elisha, he was bald-headed, and these young people, they mocked him about that bald-headedness. Now, I think that we jest with one another, and we joke with each other, and we have a little bit of fun. Here's the thing. The reason why they're mocking Elisha was so bad is they meant it. They meant it. They were trying to be hurtful. Now, what happened in that story, there's a group of children, and they mock the man of God, and they're teasing him about what he's doing and about his bald head. And the Bible says that God brought some bears out of the woods, and those kids were mauled. You see, that helps you to understand that this was more serious than a little bit of fun. If I said to Brother Young, Brother Young, nice tie. Where'd you get that tie? Did you cut up one of your wife's shower curtains? Brother Young knows that I didn't mean that. But we love each other, and you might jest with someone and have a little bit of fun. I don't think we're trying to take all the fun out of life. The problem is, I think sometimes we use words and we mean it. And I think God's not saying you can't have a little fun and joke around a little bit, because God laughs, and the Bible talks about the laughter of God, and Christians are to have joy. But I think it is, though, when we use our words and we mock and we mean it. Now, let me explain. The dictionary says the word mock means to tease or to jeer or to deride, to laugh at, to poke fun of, or to scoff. I think we would use the word tease a lot, but probably the word in the Bible that is closest to the modern day word tease would be the word mock. Now, I have to explain something to you. You understand that when you're hurtful towards someone with your words and you're teasing or mocking, you don't mock people who have an identical weakness that you have. You mock people who are different than you, and you think you're better than them. That's why you teased or mocked. which means that teasing or that mockery, if you will, has its roots in pride. I'm better than you, so I can mention the following about you because I'm better than you. And hey, we just don't deride, we don't mock someone who is exactly what we are. So much mockery and teasing has its roots in pride. Now, we all know what the Bible teaches about pride. One of the most famous verses, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. In other words, I'm lifting me up while with my words I'm knocking you down. We use words and we tease with words. And folks, our tongues are powerful. They're powerful for doing good, but the tongue can be powerful for doing bad. When I talk about words, I'm talking about in our conversations, in our emails, in our texting, Facebook. One of the things I have a problem with Facebook, there are people that will attack folks, but they never have to face them about it. They call it Facebook, but it shouldn't be called that. It should be called un-Facebook. You say things, but you never have to face them. You've got something to say, why don't you say it right to somebody's face if you're going to talk bad about them or talk negative about them, but you hide. In other words, those people, they don't have backbone. You know, the people that have criticized me on the internet and through the email and things for all the years that I've faced it, they never talk to me in my face. They hide behind a tree as they take their shots. And to me, that's so sad. You know, when you think about words, the purest words and the intent of words was the Word of God. And I think God had a great plan for words. When you get to heaven, you're going to figure out what words are really all about. And I think we're going to find out they were intended for good, not for bad. I think we say things that we shouldn't. I think we tease or mock in ways that, hey, we tease or mock. And when you mean it, when you're being harsh or mean, you think it's funny, but I think you ought to wonder if the person that you're teasing thinks it's funny. Because I don't think it's right that you have fun at somebody else's expense. Now, again, I would, if I were going to tease with someone, I would want them to think it was funny along with me. I don't have the right to enjoy it by myself at their expense. We tease. Sometimes we tease or mock just because somebody else does. You get around people that are mockers, then you pick up their behavior. It's one of the reasons why I think God tells us to be very careful with our associations. Something that I did some years ago, I pulled out my high school yearbook. Hey, if you want to be humiliated, if you have a yearbook, pull it out and take a look at what you used to look like. And it had been a while, but I could remember. And then I began to remember back when I was in grade school and when I was in middle school or junior high school, when I was in high school. And I got to thinking about some of the people that I went to school with. And when I was preparing to talk about this very subject tonight, be not mockers, I got to thinking about how, boy, in grade school, you talk about cruel, how cruel grade schoolers can be. And I think some of that's because of immaturity. I think grade schoolers say things and they just don't realize how much they will hurt someone. But I would tell you this, if you ask me, if I had to go to a court of law in regard to the children that were mauled in 2 Kings chapter 2, and they said, Pastor Owens, what's your take on that? These children were mauled by a bear because they'd been mocking the man of God. And the judge asked me, he said, what happened there? I'd say, I think they heard it at home. I think they picked up some of that behavior at home. Where did those kids learn to mock the man of God the way they were? I'm not real sure they conjured that up on their own. Now children can. We come forth out of our mother's womb speaking lies. They can do that, but I'm sure there was some influence there. And folks, let me tell you something. You get around people that are rude and crude with their words and with their tongue and toward other people, before long you're doing it to go along with them, and your association has corrupted your manners. It's corrupted the way you're behaving. Well, but I got to thinking, we're pretty rough in grade school. And then we got into middle school, and we probably changed the teasing, but I think it actually became, you got smarter as you teased, but by the time you're in high school, you could be really crude and very harsh and mean it. I think children could tease because they heard someone tease, and now I'm not even sure they really meant what they were saying. It is just they were letting their tongue roll. But boy, by the time you're in high school, and you know what you would think? You would think then you would reach your adult years and that would change. I said earlier, I really want to talk to the children and I really want to talk to the teenagers tonight, but it might be a good idea that the adults of this generation listen in. Because there's an immaturity about the way we use words. Now, I'll get you out of here very close to on time. I think I wrote down 10 things I wanted to say, but they're going to be quick and easy and fast. And I'm going to say some things to the kids and to the teenagers a lot. But may I say, adults, listen in. With every one, I'll give you a scripture. And I would just like you to think about your words, your tongue, and what you say. And I'm going to talk to the kids about mocking, teasing, because I think our young people need to learn. I think they need to learn how to behave themselves and how to use their words right. But I think we all need to learn it. When I was looking through my yearbooks, I got to thinking about some of the people that in grade school, in middle school, and in high school that got teased. And you know something? As we were a part of the teasing, it never really bothered me like it should have until I was the target. Then I said, oh, that's not right what they're doing to me. Because we tend to be real concerned about ourselves. The Christian and the Christian life is not all about you. It's about others. So let me very quickly just say some things that I'd like to help us with. First of all, I don't think we ought to tease people because of their bodies. Their bodies. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:23, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." And here God's talking about control your mouth. And remember, we may jest a little, but you know, you need to be careful. If and when you tease people, you hurt them, and if they don't think it's funny, I just don't think it's appropriate. We had a boy that went to our school. His name was Billy Farber. Billy Farber was a very big boy. And I mean, he was the biggest boy in our school. And I'll tell you something, I watched him more than one time sit at his desk and cry. Because of the teasing. And folks, I don't think you or I or any Christian ought to tease someone. I don't think you ought to bring anybody to tears over mockery, over things like their body. A girl that I went to high school with, her name was Carolyn Stipp. She was 6'6" tall. You're going to think this is funny, but they teased Carolyn. She was blonde and they called her Hairy Banana. Because she was 6'6" tall. Now, she was big enough to take care of herself, and the teasing stopped. She was the toughest guy in our school. But it's probably a good thing that Carolyn was tough, because the way they mocked her, she was able to take care of herself. Donnie Simmons, his hair was different, and Mark Lawrence was real short. Now I think back about Billy and Carolyn and Donnie and Mark, and I realize that everybody was having fun about them at their expense. And I also remember there were times when those people were virtually devastated about the mockery. Now, I think the Bible teaches we ought to learn to use our words and we ought to use them right. There's enough to talk about. There's enough to laugh about. There's enough to do that we don't have to hurt each other. I say we should not mock people about their bodies. And young people, don't tease people about their name. Their name. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb." I have an illustration about this. Tom, could you come up and help me? No. You coward. You got to hear this. Those of you that you were not in the main church service, I did an illustration today about honey, and Tom drank a bunch of honey. He's my sacrificial lamb. He got home today, texted me in the afternoon. He said, pray for me, preacher. Tabby's making a recipe, and it takes a quarter cup of honey in it. He said, so I'm eating salt and vinegar right now, trying to get myself ready for it. But did you hear the words? It said, pleasant words are as honeycomb. In other words, sweet. But my statement was, let's not tease people in regard to their names. You know, a name that was given to someone, we would call it God-given, or mom and dad gave them a name. There's nothing they can do about what their name is. We had a guy that went to our high school. His name was Steve Engel. And they teased him, and they called him Dingle, because they said he was a dingbat. But they teased him all the time. Oh, and Steve laughed about it. But I'm going to guarantee you there were times when Steve was really hurt about how they teased him about his name. And folks, a name is something that is to be honored, and a name is something that ought to be respected. Do you know that the Bible says in regard to the name of Jesus Christ, it talks about that name above every name. It was a big deal. But you can hurt people that way if you're not careful. So might I say, don't mock people about their names? Hey, number three, don't mock or tease people about the way they talk. About the way they talk. Now you say, well, Pastor, why are you teaching this? Parents used to teach these sort of things. Schools used to teach these sort of things. Now it's almost unheard of. It's every man for himself. Say what you want, do what you want, and let the chips fall where they may. And everybody's offended all the time. And we don't respect words anymore. I say, I don't think you ought to tease people about the way that they talk. Again, the Bible about our words. Our words are so, they can be so harsh. Psalm 52:2 says, thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor. We had a young man that I went to school with, and his name was Brad Stover. And Brad had a lisp when he spoke. And there were certain letters or sounds in the alphabet that just didn't come out right. And you've all seen it. So rude people would mock and tease Brad. And to be honest, Brad was a decent kid, but he was mocked over it. Do you know that there are sometimes that people talk and they might not talk with the kind of clarity that you do? And it might be because of a physical condition. It might be that there was some lack of training in their life. But I have to tell you, I don't see any justification in mockery over that. You're not helping them. That hurts. And if you've ever been mocked or teased over these sort of things, they can hurt very deeply. They can humiliate one and make someone want to retract. It makes someone feel unloved. Listen, if there are deficiencies or people are different than you, you know what they really need? They need someone to love them and accept them. You say, well, what do I do about that difference? Why don't you ignore it? You say, but that's different. Well, maybe they're the normal one and you're the different one. What makes you think that what you have is the right? Usually that's not how we think, though. We think we're always, you know, I'm the normal one, or I'm the one that's got it all in a row. Well, maybe that's not the case at all. So I think the Bible teaches us to watch our mouth and watch, and especially when we do things and we mean it and we're harmful and we damage people. So don't tease people about their bodies. Don't tease people about their names. Don't mock them, if you will, about the way they talk. And then I don't think we should tease or mock people. Okay, I'll use this. Let's say that someone wears a pair of glasses. I can remember I was asking myself when I was younger, what did I hear people teased about? Somebody could wear a pair of glasses and get teased about it. And I suppose they probably still do it today. Had all sorts of ways of teasing. Bain Shockley. I hate this because Mrs. Owens knows virtually every name. We went to the same high school. But Bain Shockley, he wore glasses. And people teased Bain about this all the time. Bain had one eye that was, Bain had a glass eye, and it was very lazy, and he wore glasses because he could barely see. And people mocked him about it, called him four eyes and all sorts of things, which I really, to me, if that really is funny to someone, I don't understand it. His eyes didn't work right. I don't understand a tease about that. But what a lot of people don't realize is Bain was in his backyard one day, and a friend of his shot an arrow and shot him in the eye with the arrow. That's what put his eye out. And most of the people in my high school didn't know exactly how Bain lost his eye. And so now Bain's got a lazy eye, and he wears glasses because the loss of one eye affected the sight in the other eye. So he's going through school, and there are people mocking him about an eye and the glasses. The truth is, he got shot in the eye with an arrow. And I would listen to people, and I would watch, and I think, how crude, how rude. And if I accomplish nothing else tonight, folks, let me tell you something. Christians are supposed to behave different than the world. And the old world, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and they'll tease and mock, and they tear down. Christians aren't supposed to be like that. And like I said earlier, I originally thought, I want to talk to the children, I want to talk to the teenagers, I want them to be careful of this sort of thing. It was so predominant when I was growing up. And then I got to thinking through it, and I thought, well, I better just go ahead and just say this to all the adults and everybody, because for some reason I tend to think that we don't use our words real cautiously in the adult realm. We're not real careful how we handle ourselves and those that are different than us. So I don't think we ought to mock people about their bodies, or mock people about their names, or mock people about the way they talk, or mock people about something like a pair of glasses. Number five, I don't think we ought to mock people because of their family. Because of their family. Ephesians 4:29, again, about our communication, our words. It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth." There's a young man that went to my high school. His name was Jamie Shaneyfelt. And Jamie lived with his grandma. His parents had, honestly, they had forsaken him and went off to live their life the way they wanted. And grandma had taken on the responsibility of raising Jamie. And I remember it very, very vividly. Everybody knew that Jamie's grandma was raising him, and they virtually mocked and teased Jamie about that. Now, let me tell you all something here, boys and girls, everybody here. If you live in a home where mom and dad both live there, you ought to thank God for that, and you ought to be thrilled of that. But let me tell you something. In whatever situation, and whatever the family situation is for somebody else, I don't think you ought to ever hurt them in any way about who they live with and how. I knew a handful of girls that went to my high school, and their dad did not live with them. And I remember that mom trying to rear those girls by herself, but I remember people mocking those girls about the fact that their dad did not live in the home with them. Can I tell you something? The last thing in the world those girls wanted was not to have a daddy at home. And they're already dealing with something that's awful heavy in life to be growing up in that situation. They did not need a disrespect, and they did not need a bunch of immature people mocking them. And might I say this, don't forget, we don't usually mock or tease people that have an identical weakness, as we would call it, to us. We mock those that we think we're better than. Did you know that if your mom and dad both live at your house, it's not because of you? You didn't have anything to do with that. And the fact that somebody else may not have an identical family setting to yours, they probably didn't have anything to do with that either. Adults, I would be very, very careful how you handle people and relationships, and how you talk about people and relationships. Yeah, it's a funny thing how people take shots at other people about their family. Did you know something? There could be somebody in somebody else's family that does or behaves in a certain way, and the individual you take a shot at may not have anything to do with it, may not have any control over it, may not have any part in it. But for you to mock, tease, or hurt someone over something they have no control over, boy, isn't that unreasonable? Isn't there an injustice in that? So I wouldn't mock, I wouldn't tease people because of their family situation. Number six, don't mock or tease people because of their skin color. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I don't think anybody ought to mock somebody else or tease somebody else because of the color of their skin. I remember that when I was a coach, we had a young man. His name was Cristobal. I won't mention his last name, but I remember people teasing Cristobal because of the color of his skin. Now, folks, you understand, we sing the song Red and Yellow, Black and White, they're all precious in His sight. I think there are some people that you need to stop singing the song because you don't mean it. But what I'd really recommend is that you continue to sing the song and you start believing what the song says. You know that every single person, as we look our way through this auditorium, there are people of different skin colors in our auditorium, and every one of them is of value. Jesus died for every one of them, and God created all of those. And let me tell you, you know, here at our church, I don't want people. There's not a class system here. We're a bunch of sinners saved by grace. That's all there is to it. And if you think the color of your skin makes you better than someone else, or the color of their skin makes them worse than you, it does not. Let me tell you what does. Behavior. Behavior is something that God looks at very strongly, not color. And so let's make sure that we don't mock, that we don't tease, that we don't do that. And let me explain something, and I hope you'll listen to this very carefully. Racism is practiced by many colors. Many colors. One color can have a racist attitude toward another. There's no one color of skin that has a corner of the market when it comes to racism. I don't think anybody ought to treat anybody poorly or badly because of the color of their skin. Number seven, I don't think you ought to tease people because of the things that they do that you don't understand. And I'm going to make an application in a moment here. But let me tell you, Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Let me read that verse again. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Now, you don't even have to understand what all that's teaching. I think you should be able to understand the tongue's pretty powerful. Be careful how you use your tongue. And I say don't mock or don't tease people that do things that you don't understand. I'm not going to mention a last name because I have people that, we have sermons that go out on the internet, but there was a young lady in my high school, her name was Betsy. Betsy, while she was a senior in high school, was still sucking her thumb. You say, oh, she shouldn't have done that. And probably maturity-wise, we know that that is not common. But I would tell you this. Later on in life, when I learned some of the things that Betsy went through in life, I understood the insecurity that Betsy faced. Betsy was facing things that people never knew. There was an insecurity that had developed in Betsy's life, and that sucking of her thumb was a reflection of a lot of things that Betsy had gone through that people did not understand. But I was going to high school and watching people tease her when the sucking of the thumb was one of her securities because she had been hurt so much in life. And everybody in school would tease her about it. And I look back now and I think, how sad. How sad. See, you don't always know why someone has a particular behavior going on. And could I recommend that you not mock them, don't tease them? You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to love people and help people. Oh, sure, we're going to teach them to live right. And we're going to teach people, we're going to help people. We're going to teach people about personal hygiene. You say, what is that? That's where you brush your teeth and comb your hair and you bathe. We want to teach people that. But could I recommend something? If somebody comes into our church and they don't know about personal hygiene, don't tease them. Don't tease them. Look, maybe mom didn't teach them. Maybe dad didn't teach them. Maybe they don't know. You say, well, what are we going to do about it? Well, let's love them. If you want to talk about it, talk to Jesus on your knees. You say, but look at how they're dressed. Okay, get me $100. I'll go buy them a new suit to wear. But I probably won't see you, and you probably won't give me that money. because you're not that interested. But boy, when you tease people about things like that, I don't think that's how Christians are supposed to behave. Let me go on. I've just got a couple more and we'll be done and we'll be on our way. Number 8, don't tease people about their weaknesses. James chapter 1 verse 26, it teaches us that if you do not bridle your tongue, your religion is vain. We're to control what we say. And I think we'll better control what we say if we'll control our pride in life. There was a young man that went to my school, and to be honest, he was pretty effeminate. It was very obvious to everybody. And people, his name was Kenny, and people teased him. One day, I was nearby. Kenny's dad worked at the high school where I was, and he was a coach at our high school. Kenny's dad was Macho Man. And I watched Kenny, and Kenny's dad did not know anybody was around. But I watched Kenny's dad grab him and throw him up against a brick wall and throw him across a car. And I retracted myself, and my heart was devastated. And I figured out why Kenny was so soft. He'd virtually had some manhood beaten and scared out of him. Well, let me tell you all something. If you get to teasing people because of a weakness, you know, is it possible that there is a cause of the weakness? Teasing or mocking is not the goal. You say, what's the goal? Building, strengthening, training, loving, accepting. See, at a church, we're in the people building business. See, what do? We're just all trying to better ourselves and better the people around us. Someday we'll get out of this mess, we'll go to heaven, and we won't have to deal with it anymore, and we'll all be like you then. But until then, you'll have to put up with our frailties, our weaknesses. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with us jesting and having some fun here and there, but when you mean it, and when you're laughing and mocking, and it's at somebody else's expense, and they don't think it's funny, I think there's an inappropriateness, and I don't think that's how God wanted Christians to act. Let me go on, number 9. I don't think you ought to tease people because of their Christianity. I think this is a very sad thing. Psalm 34:13 talks about keep thy tongue from evil. Let me say to everybody in here, look, if there's somebody in here and they sincerely love the Lord, and teenagers and children, if there's somebody that really loves the Lord and they're really serving God and they're really doing right and they're taking a stand for right, the last thing in the world you ought to do is mock a good Christian. And you may think that you're uplifting yourself by doing that, but you're really tearing yourself down when you mock a good Christian. Do you understand how many people were taking shots at Jesus Christ? If thou be the King of the Jews, then come down off that cross. He could have come down, slapped the snot out of them all. But he knew he had a higher calling. And he stayed on the cross, but they were mocking. They thought they were better than him. They were not. I would just say in general, I'd be careful just not to tease people. Don't mock and hurt. Don't mock when if they don't think it's funny. You know, there are things you can laugh at me about. I won't be bothered by it. I'm a relatively hard person to hurt. And one thing I learned to do a long time ago is I'll let people laugh at me. And if I think I do something stupid enough to make everybody laugh, then I'll point it out because it's good. I don't mind it. But not everybody feels that way. We had a kid in our high school. His name was Daryl Poling. He was a pretty decent Christian kid, but boy, did he get mocked. Kept his hair cut like a man. Carried his Bible to school. They would mock him. They were wrong. They were very wrong. They all thought they were strong, like a bunch of wolves running in a pack. They would mock him. But the truth is, Daryl was a strong one. There was one of him and dozens of the others. And they would gather together like a bunch of vicious, bloodthirsty people trying to pull him down or make him feel bad. But I think it's wrong to mock someone about their Christianity. And finally, number 10, and then we'll pray and go home. I don't think you ought to tease people just because they're different. Just because they're different. Did you know we're all created and we're designer models? There are no two noses that are exactly alike. Nobody's exactly the same height. Nobody has the identical hair or a hairline. Everybody's got different names. The truth is, when it comes to even our skin color, did you know that nobody, did you know your skin color is just like the snowflake? They're all different. We're completely different. We had a kid by the name of Scotty Mills. Scotty's brain did not work right. And I'm not saying that in a mocking way. Scotty's brain did not work right. Scotty had some deficiencies, and Scotty, and there's different things that would cause this, but Scotty would rock. Anytime he would sit, he would rock. Now, he was in our high school, but he would sit and rock and sit and rock. It wasn't Scotty's fault. And I wonder how many times I watch kids mock him and tease him and be mean to him. And the last few times that I rode a bus to school, I sat by Scotty. You say, why? Because I had decided to take it as my personal responsibility to stop people from mocking him. I shouldn't have acted that way. I remember turning around saying to one kid, I said, you mock him again, I'm going to rock your brain, kid. Because I have to tell you, I had just had it with the mockery and the abuse of people. Now, I shouldn't have acted that way. There was a better way of handling it. I should have beat the guy up in private. since then, I've learned. But, folks, let's not become a part of this vicious world. The mockery. All you have to do is turn your television on, look at the politicians, and look at how they talk about and to each other. I might not, and you might not, agree with everything that our president does and how he does it, but somebody needs to get control of their mouth. And I think everybody out there needs to get control of what they say and how they say it. And folks, don't get the idea just because you're not with someone personally that your words may be flung out there and you may say what you want. What you print, what you type, what you text, what you say ought to be decent. Matter of fact, you don't even have to say it. You shouldn't even be thinking it. Because the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I call the sermon, Be Ye Not Mockers. And children and teenagers, I hope you listen to me. There's a level of living that Christians ought to live in regard to how they treat people. I don't think we should be mockers, teasers. Hey, I want us to have fun. We're going to have some fun. We're going to joke and jest. But you need to learn if what you're saying is hurtful. And you need to make sure that the object of the fun is for it, truly for it. And then you're okay. But if not, you're better off not mocking, because we hurt people. Did you know in a church like ours, we won't have a whole lot of issues when it comes to doctrine? Doesn't take people very long to figure out what we believe. Your issues will come with people getting along with people. People works. Let's make sure we work well with one another. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you're not born again, we want to welcome you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I'm not on my way to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not saved. All right. Hey, born again Christian, may I tonight challenge you that you're careful with your words. Husbands and wives, watch what you say to one another. Guard what you say. Children, guard what you say to your brothers and sisters. Those of you that are friends in the church, guard what you say, how you say it. Don't mock, don't tease, don't hurt people. Let's be different as Christians. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I think there's some improvement that I could accomplish in my life, and I've been prompted, I've been encouraged tonight to improve in this area of the use of my words. Would you raise your hand and let God see it and say, I think I can work on that. I can help myself and help others. God bless you. We're going to have an altar call. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. And it used to be, this was a grade school thing, but I have to tell you, boy, you go to the workplace, They mock, they tease, they scorn one another. You get into the professional world, and it's there. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb. Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor. The tongue of the wise is health. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Keep thy tongue from evil, the Bible says in Proverbs 34:13, Proverbs 11:9, and a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. And remember, most of the time, jesting and mocking that's hurtful comes from a root of pride, because you think you're better than someone, so you mock them in the area where they're different than you. Rude, unkind, unguarded words, unguarded conversation.